So the last tutor for this side is Nathan Kroger. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this one takes a little bit of participation. First, everybody, just we need to circle the room and cling to the walls, if we can make that happen. You don't have to actually cling to it. And once everyone gets into position. The second part of this is I need some volunteers to come and grab a beer, and we're going to stand around this little circle, create another mini circle inside this larger circle, and we're going to, with a beer in hand, and we're going to reach inside of your pocket and grab a key. Anybody? You can share keys too, if you trust people. Anybody else want to grab? There's a bunch in here. Everybody ready? There we go.
This is what's happening is what I think.
Okay. So what we're gonna do here now?
What
if anybody else wants to join, still, we stab the bottom end right around here. Keep this closed. And then you're going to pop it into your mouth, and you're going to drink the entire thing, just cock your head back, and drown yourself. So on the count of three, we're going to step. One, two, three, step.
Here you go.
Step,
don't grace.
I went to my first AA meeting a week and one day ago. Everyone was sickly welcoming. Oh my God, this is your first meeting? Ever? Really? It's rare you meet someone on their first time. The noises came from a fat, flat-faced woman named Joy. Her two purple pimples covered with a concealer that was neither dark enough to cover the murky heads, nor light enough to match her pasty skin. Her neck bobbed back and forth loosely as she spoke. She sounded like a pamphlet, and with the way her chin fell, I imagined her throat to be cut halfway to the bone. It seems most unintelligent people carry this trademark. The funniest confessor of the night was a skinhead queer with a lisp. He had a very romantic way of describing his self-loathing. Really made you think he was deep. That maybe it wasn't his fault. That maybe he just felt more than most people. A highlight from his passionate rant was, "Hey, Scott," yelled so-and-so, "you missed a spot," pointing at the patches of hair on his chin. "Yeah, I know," said Scott, staring down. "I couldn't stand to look at myself any longer." It was tragic truths like this that sent the circle in an uproar of laughter. All throughout the speeches, men snickered under their stashes, smiling at the fuck-ups across from them. There was one skinny blonde who kept spilling scalding hot tea on herself. The people around her kept handing her napkins. She was underwater in that old, bright-lit church. Her eyelids swam slowly together while she slurped from her styrofoam cup. Her clone, with the horse jaw, simpered at those across from her, chuckling to themselves. When she spilt, her mouth contorted, cursed herself silently, then she closed her eyes in disgust. If she could, she'd have squeezed her eyes so tight, she'd wrap up in a ball and roll smoothly out of the room. Out of her body, if science allowed it. She strangely resembled the women in my family, only... If they only prune themselves with whiskey, but mine prune naturally from poverty and male dependency. There was the bony Indian girl with her knees and elbows twisted into herself. When she listened, her eyes lit up. When she spoke, they bounced on the ground. A sick hope just spun on her face like a slot machine. She just moved from Portland after finishing grad school. She's been sober since 17, and she looks so sad. Partly I blame this on Portland, but mostly I blamed her for quitting too soon. I was warned about the God thing. the 12 steps resembling a staircase clambered by born-again Christians. But I forgave it. You know, whatever helps, right? If your God is a 14-inch purple dildo who brings you happiness, shove it up there as far as you can. Raise it and praise it. Who am I to say you're wrong? When they start a meeting, they first ask the newcomers to stand and say, "Hey, my name is blank, and I am an alcoholic." The newbies spoke, and I sat silent. When the old man next to me, John Summers, a real AA for lifer, nudged me. "You nervous, man?" I shook my head. "Yeah." And I hated admitting that. Especially to that little round head nodding in sympathy. John Summers was called on every week to speak at these, and this was made clear to me when Scott, you missed a spot, raved how he used to hate everyone, but now he loved everyone, including John Summers and his stupid story he told every week. A story that included a van, some hippies, and large jugs full of urine, which somehow led to the road to sobriety. I drifted during his rant because the back of his head was uninteresting and the blonde kept burning herself with tea. The mediator read off her laminated sheet. A few clutched their blue Bibles, the fluorescence beamed down, kids hid in their hoodies. I get it now. It's a youth group for social outcasts. A public confessional where purging is welcomed like a bukkake contest. Two separate baskets were passed around. One cheap wicker was filled with crusty dollar bills, while the other carried pink and white slips. I was told they were slips for those with DUIs. A pretty brunette who wore bangs over her eyes slid the last pink slip into her purse. I remember thinking, if I came here willingly and hated these people, already hated these people, she must be scratching her wrists raw. The entire time I sat there listening, I felt something coiling in my chest, like a black slug slurping around in there. Their melancholy fed it, and it grew. I started rehearsing my speech, convinced I could articulate my misery clearer. That they would hear it and say, "Wait! What are you doing here? You don't belong here. You're better than us." But the speech in my head was glib, contrived, and unmoving. I began to see the courage it took to look so pathetic. The mediator announced that they had time for one last speaker, but to keep it short. There was a silence and a squeak of linoleum before my thighs tightened to rise, but he beat me to it. It was Sam. And Sam wanted to let everyone know he got wasted last night. "Good job, Sam!" someone yelled. His rant was unworthy in comparison, and besides, he was too pretty to pity. I was going to bleed for them real nice, give them something special. "Thanks, Sam!" the chorus mumbled in broken harmony. Everyone stood and took to the nearest wall. We all held hands. John held mine what I felt to be backwards. And they closed it with the speech they opened with. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." I searched for the lips that didn't move, but they all fucking knew it. While Sebastian stacked the chairs, Joy made me hate her voice some more. "Yeah, it was great. I had a great time. Yeah, I'll see you next week." A couple guys who recognized me came over, asked me how I liked it, if I was okay, and if I wanted to exchange numbers. Well, I'll never call them, but I put them in my phone. Everyone hugged and split off with their separate groups, headed happily to Charlie's Bar and Grill as if a shot were there waiting for them. But instead they'd binge on greasy pasta and soggy chicken fingers. A loud flat screen of Blair Sports from the corner, their faces saturated, nothing changing but the shit they shoved inside them, and John Summers telling the same goddamn story over and over again. Thank you.
Side B, it'll be like at 3. It's 2:35 now, and we'll. So yeah, come back for the second half of the reading. 3:00. Thanks. You are.